Then he presented the positive alternative. Of course, it wasn't just, kind of cutting through the confusion of the times. He talked about alternatives to these three syndromes or attitudes. He talked about spiritual life in terms of growth. Now, that's a bit hackneyed nowadays, using the language of growth. But in those days, it was quite refreshing to hear of Buddhism not being spoke of as sort of smashing through and breaking through, but of growing. And he evoked the images that you get repeatedly in Buddhist texts of spiritual life as unfolding of beautiful lotus flowers. Growth, he meant, was having a genuine sense of your spiritual potential. A genuine sense of your spiritual potential, which Buddhism calls faith. You've got a genuine sense of what you can become and unfold into. A genuine sense of enlightenment. You have a genuine sense of your spiritual commitment, which is a kind of longing, an aspiration for spiritual transformation. You're not craving to get something, you're aspiring to transform yourself, to really look at yourself, to really transform yourself, rather than trying to get something into you to make everything all right. There's a big difference between those two things. You're not trying to add on to yourself with experience. Spiritual life is transformation, it's growth. And growth means not only an unfolding, the beautiful emerging flower, it also means a dying away, a leaving behind, a dropping away of certain things. If you talk about spiritual life in terms of growth, you're talking about continuous spiritual death and spiritual rebirth. Spiritual rebirth, spiritual death, an emerging and a dropping away. The second thing he talked about was work. By work, he meant doing what you actually need to do to bring this process about. The work of practice, and by practice he didn't just mean sitting on a cushion meditating. He meant total life practice. Practicing ethics, practicing meditation, practicing deep study of Buddhist texts, Buddhist literature, engaging in spiritual friendship and spiritual community. He meant work as practice, actually working for the Dharma or working to improve the world. Great important Zen teaching, a day of no work is a day of no eating. I think we can include other things in this great work, participation in the arts, things like yoga, the martial arts properly engaged in, all sorts of things. But it's your total practice in your life. That's the work, the great work, to bring about spiritual transformation, death and rebirth. And thirdly, he talked about duty. Work and duty, sort of dirty word. Well, duty is a terribly dirty word, isn't it? And by duty, he said what he meant was the claims of the day, the wider day, the wider spiritual day, meaning the whole world. Doing your bit, playing your part to awaken, playing your part in the whole process of awakening for the benefit of all beings. It's not just you doing that, you're doing it with other people. Following the Bodhisattva path, unself-consciously, naturally, just ordinary men, ordinary women, doing what needs to be done in order to awaken and to help others to awaken. Have a look at the lecture. Better listen to the lecture. You'll feel the sublime flooding in, sweeping away falsehood and revealing the true. Well, you might not, but I did. We practice, we awaken. In this time and this place, in what is actually happening here in 21st century Sirlingham. There's nothing exotic about it. It's actually all very, very ordinary. And that is what is so miraculous and potent. When it gets ordinary, it becomes miraculous and potent. When it's exotic and highly technique-based, it isn't so potent. It isn't so miraculous. There might be a big hit, but it isn't really doing anything in the end.